Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here. For checking out the episode, please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. I'll give you new interviews just like this one sent to you every single week. You can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review if you're having a good time as well. We've had some great guests drop by, including Jeff Bridges, who is just here. You know him, legendary Hollywood actor and musician. Finn Cole, starring in Last Breath. We also got to talk about Peaky Blinders with Finn. Michael McDonald was here. He's back with the Doobie Brothers for the first time since 1980. Sophia Carson, Kyle Allen, and Sebastian D'Souza, they're starring in The Life List on Netflix. Ben Barnes, who's going to be in The Institution, the Stephen King adaptation. Talib Kweli and Peaches, Hamilton Lighthouser, Damon Albarn, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. It's a special Rewind episode today. Sarah McLachlan and Tracy Thorne. Two voices that helped define the emotional landscape of the 90s, and they did it on their own terms. McLachlan, with her soaring melodies, introspective songwriting, she built a legacy of haunting beauty, activism, and Lilith Fair defiance. While Tracy Thorne, as half of Everything But the Girl and a solo artist, turned quiet vulnerability into pop brilliance with a voice that could break your heart in one line. Different sounds, same fearless spirits. We're going to start in 2015 when Sarah McLachlan dropped into the WFPK studio, and we got to talk about her career in that moment versus the 90s, her eternal positive outlook that she seems to be carrying no matter what's going on in the world, feminism, ballet, holiday albums, and a whole lot more. It's part one of this special Rewind episode. This is Kyle Meredith with Sarah McLachlan.
Good. Thank you.
Bestowing much pressure on you with this right here.
I'm a little young for the legendary part, but thank you.
I think in the music business, as long as you can hang around for longer than 10 years, you can wear it.
Yeah. Like 27 years in.
That's not bad.
That's kind of shocking.
That's
when
not
I think
bad.
About it.
You picked up a few things on the way?
A few bad habits, a few good habits.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I know it's changed. So the new record we should mention, Shine On. Beautiful record.
Thank you.
It's so well done. I know things have changed, and I know a bit of the recent part of your career, I guess, is kind of, I don't know, what do you call it, stepping back a little bit, not pushing as hard as you used to, kind of.
Well, I have kids, right. So I mean priorities change, and I'm considerably older now than I was 27 years ago when I started, and I'm really lucky that I can, to a certain degree, pick and choose how much I work and when I work. I mean, as I said, these days I sort of do my touring around my kids' school schedules. Like, they're on spring break right now, so I get 2 weeks with them.
Right.
There's sort of 12 days on the other side when I'm not with them, and then I'm home again. So.
Yeah. But even when you're writing the record, though, is that kind of a thing? Like, you know, obviously the 90s were a great decade for you. You know, a lot of great things happened with those records.
Heyday, absolutely.
Yeah. what am I asking? Do you have to like reach for that type of a star when you're writing these records? Do you have to go, I want that to be a number one album?
No, and I mean, I never did. I never sought to have number one records or have that kind of success. I mean, for me, I know this might sound obnoxious, but it's success for me is looking in the mirror at the end of the day and go, I did absolutely the best job I could.
Yeah.
And I worked my hardest and this is my best.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't always hit that, obviously. But as far as making my records, for me, it's a very selfish act. I mean, I do it for myself. I'm so lucky that I get to create something that I want to create and then send it out to the universe and have other people be able to relate to it. Yeah.
I mean, I know for some artists, though, it can be a problem if you're in it for multiple decades. Whoever you are, whether you're Bruce Springsteen or whoever, you're usually competing with one era.
Well, I think, you know, any artist, you're right, who has that kind of longevity, I think it's an extremely difficult expectation to go into it and think that you're ever going to have the same success you had in the past. If you ever did reach huge success, which I feel like I did, I think it's really dangerous to ever expect that again. You know, and you can't really expect that. If you do, you're setting yourself up for a huge disappointment. And, you know, I think I was just so incredibly lucky that I got to ride that wave
really
in the 90s and have that success, and not just for 15 minutes, but a good chunk of change.
I mean, you've got a greatest hits.
I do, And, you know, I'm just so lucky that I get to make music and I get to go out there and play live, which is what I really love to do. Mm. And still get enough of an audience together that you know that wants to come and listen.
And these shows have been so cool, especially with the Q&A that you have going on.
Well, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, I mean, I've always been trying to figure out ways to create less of a boundary between us being on stage and the audience being in the seats. And it's like, because you're making music and we're playing it for these people and we're all kind of in it together. So the Q&A is fun because, you know, people are always, they used to be shouting stuff and you can never hear what anybody's saying. So they go, let's organize that somehow. So getting people to write down the questions, and it's a great way to sort of pass the time as well to further that idea. We have this living room set up and we invite people through a social media contest that we ran previously to come and hang out with us on stage. And so whilst they're getting organized, I answer questions. And
have you gotten to the point yet where you figured out, like, do you have like the worst question you've ever had and the best question? Does it go that far?
It probably does if I think about it. I can never hold on to that information.
Right.
I forget. You know, people say, what's the best question you've been asked?
I don't know.
In the moment, I can never think of it. There's been some doozies. There's been really great, smart ones. There's been really moronic ones.
Because I know you get the ones like, will you marry me, and all of these.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, just last week, it's like, my wife and I would both like to marry you. I'm like, okay.
Hello.
I'm like, okay. Get a little red in the face. It's okay. Thank you, but...
And what was your answer?
Was like, I don't really know you. Yeah. And there's a myriad of reasons why that wouldn't work. But thank you. I mean, it's not like this is a serious request anyway.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, you just have fun with those ones.
And we'll be right back right after this.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Taxes was paying so much to get your taxes done. Every single year. Now taxes is getting a TurboTax expert who will beat the price you paid your pro last year, so you get the most money back this year. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Switch to an expert now at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Proof of amount paid may be required. Must sign up by 3/18 and file by 3/25. Subject to terms at TurboTax.com/beat your price. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Sarah McLachlan.
You're a positive person. I mean, you get all that.
Am.
You get that from the stage. You get your little Sunday bit of thing on your Facebook. Are you as positive a person as you come off online? Because you really kind of preach that. You push that in the live show on your albums.
I am. Yeah. And I work really hard at, you know, some days you have to work hard at it, you know, to find the silver lining. But I feel like I am that person that the cup is always half full. if more so.
Yeah, there's a quote, and I got it written down here, high hopes for humanity. I don't know where I pulled that from the other day, but you said that somewhere recently. I have high hopes for humanity.
Well, and I think when I was talking about that, I was talking about just the fact that we, as humans, have such a beautiful ability to be empathetic, to be understanding of other people's issues, and to give of ourselves, which we're the only race we're the only creatures that do that. And I sort of feel like, that's the thing that's going to keep us above water.
Well, hopefully.
Is if we continue to hold on to the beautiful parts of humanity and not sink.
Because watching the news, you
can
get carried away in.
You can get, you get
what's going
away.
On in the Congress and what's going on.
Well, and you can feel paralyzed too.
St. Louis or anything.
Sure, it's like, what can I do? I'm one person.
Right.
And you look at all these huge things that are so complex that you can spend weeks trying to delve into it and trying to understand it. Mm-hmm. And, you don't really get very far because it is so complex. You know, if these really, really smart world leaders can't figure it out.
Right. So what do you do then? I mean, it seems like for you,
it's... You try and exact change on the level that you can exact change.
Yeah.
You
try to push the positive stuff to the people that are listening to you and hope that they push along too.
Yeah, and I try and teach it to my kids and anybody else who will listen. But really, it's not by talking, it's by doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my favorite quotes in the world is, be the change you want to see in the world. I mean, it's
horribly
overused. But
in every dorm room across
but
America.
But it's such a simple concept. You know, it's like, do unto others as you want done unto yourself. Really, you know, Jesus was a pretty cool guy. He had some really great, simple ideas, and a lot of people didn't like it. But
a lot of people have just looked right past that simple idea and said many other things.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's greed, you know. Yeah. One of the underside and the unpleasant side of humanity is that, you know, we want power and we want things to be the way we want them for ourselves. And that can't always work. And I mean, that's one of the great things about becoming a mother, where you really realize that in a profound way, where it's like, this isn't about me anymore.
Right.
This isn't about what I want. It's about what's good for everybody. And I think that's why if women ruled the world, it would be a lot better of a place.
Well, that brings up an interesting... There is that word that
go
you've
Hillary.
Been...
Go Hillary!
Yeah, right. No, go Hillary. I need that. We all need that.
Yeah.
But there's been a word that goes along with that you've always been associated with, and it's feminism.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel weird talking about this as the guy in the conversation because...
I think men can be feminists. I know some beautiful...
Like, I'm on equal for everybody. I like to think of it as a humanism thing, you know?
I agree.
It's all like that. But it does seem like it's been in the conversation more right now, you know?
And it's coming back into favor.
Now, is that good or bad? Because I also hear a lot of argument going on, and sometimes it's not in the best way.
Well, there's always going to be pushback, and there are going to be the people who pretend to hide behind the humanist thing. Well, why do we even need to talk about this?
Right.
Well, clearly we need to talk about it because women still aren't treated equally. Women still do not have equal pay. Patricia Arquette at the Oscars gave a great speech
about that.
It's like, it's like, it's true.
Yeah.
Now, things are changing very slowly, and they're moving in a positive direction. That being said, I believe that women and feminism needs to remain vigilant because at any moment, for instance, our reproductive rights could be taken away from us again. You know, that's a...
It's amazing to think that that's even possible.
But, you know, one state will pass a law, and then two states, and all of a sudden, before you know it...
I have a feeling I know where all the states will be around, though, you know, in one certain part of the country. It's.
But, you know,
No, it's scary.
Because that still
happens,
and because that is still very present, I think that women do need to remain, like I said, they need to remain vigilant in protecting the rights that we have now, and also speaking out for pushing those boundaries and making sure that slowly but surely we are getting equal pay and we are getting more women in CEO and CFO positions.
I mean, it's probably going to take more than getting Hillary in the White House, the same way
putting
Barack in the...
But it's a step.
It is a step.
It's a positive step in the right direction, and if the right framework is put around that so that it's not threatening.
Right.
Not terribly threatening anyway.
I mean,
it is going to be a little bit threatening, especially to the old school attitudes that exist in most of the rest of the world, that women are second class, third class citizens.
I mean, luckily for Hillary, though, I mean, it's not just because she's a woman.
She happens to be incredibly well.
Yeah, she's the best person for the job.
She's prepared for the job. Yeah, she's had years and years of experience. She's smart as a whip.
Right.
Doesn't take any shit off anybody. and she's got Bill in her back pocket, who's got all
bad.
The charm and charisma.
Yeah,
you know, he's, Yeah.
Just have to get there.
Just have to get there.
I know you got a few things beyond the new record Shine On. There's a ballet that just happened.
Actually, it's been going on for a couple of years now. Jean Grand Maître, who is the head choreographer for the Alberta Ballet, which is a really strong organization. A couple years ago, when we did the Olympics, he was part of the opening ceremonies, as was I, and we met then. And he had just done a ballet for Joni Mitchell. And I went to see it.
I know about that one, right? Fantastic.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I don't know. Would you ever be interested in something like this? I'm like, absolutely. This was so great. And he was like, really? I'm like, yeah. So we just set about, we had some conversations.
Some good
about
video
it,
of that and make sure that gets out
for
the rest of us.
Well, you know, hopefully they did a little tour around LA area and stuff like that. You know, the thing is about the ballet and those kind of arts in general is it's really, really difficult right now for them to maintain. They're nonprofits and they work really hard and they don't get paid much. So it's always a struggle. Mm-hmm. And one of the great things about creating this kind of mashup, this cultural mashup, is that you get such a great crossover of my fans, many of whom have never seen the ballet before, and a lot of staunch ballet fans who have never heard my music before, and that sort of, as I said, that mashup of mixing of genres, I think is a great way to help keep the arts alive and keep propelling them forward and keep creating new and interesting things that are going to.
You're like a super person, you know, a super person for all good things. I love it. I also mentioned that you said you might be doing another holiday record. You might?
I'm thinking about it. Well, people keep asking me. So,
the last one did good enough.
Yeah. Well, and it was a really fun thing to do because, God, the songs were already written. How nice is that?
Yeah, that's good.
I have to write the damn things, which is what takes so long.
You just have to do it in July when your mindset's not there.
And May then try and June, actually.
Yeah.
You do Christmas records in May
and June.
It's always
funny.
Yeah, because then it has to be done and mastered
and everything.
You're
the person walking around town, you know, for the rest of that month, like, humming these things.
Humming Christmas songs. Just like, what are you doing? It's finally getting warm out.
Well, I'd love it if it happened. Again, congratulations. Shine On is a beautiful record.
Thank you.
Everything you've done so far, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. My pleasure, too.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. Now time for part two of this rewind. Although it's a fast forward within a rewind. We were just in 2015. Now we're going to go to 2018. That's when I jumped on the phone with Tracy Thorne, who just put out a solo record at that point. In fact, a record called Record. She didn't think she was going to make a solo record, and it was her first in a handful of years, but the social and political climate at the time, the songs just flooded in. We got to talk all about it in this interview, part two of this rewind. It's Kyle Meredith with Tracy Thorne.
Hi, hello.
I'm becoming exceedingly mildly obsessed with your new record here.
That's good to hear. Thank you.
Everything sounds so good. You know, I feel like there's probably a play on that title. I'd wondered if you made the hard choice. Is it record or record?
I mean, it's deliberately ambiguous. You know, I tend to say record, but I guess, you know, one of the things I'm saying about this is because I don't tour and I don't play live anymore, the thing I do is I record and I've made a record. So, you know, it's both those things. It's kind of drawing attention to the bit of music that I do still get engaged with.
I've talked to a lot of artists lately about sort of pulling back from touring and for various reasons, some out of necessity, financial necessity, and some because they've just made that choice in their life for whatever reason. And I got to say, as a fan, I'm not let down by that. Like, if it means that I get more music, like that's a big payoff for me.
Well, that's good to hear, you know, because I hate feeling like, you know, it looks like I'm, I don't know, not committed enough or not trying enough, because I always feel like, for me, especially now where I am this stage in my life, working in the studio is where I feel I give of my best. And, you know, I feel confident in the studio, I feel in control, and I feel like I can come up with loads of ideas. So to me, it feels like a really positive thing just to make that a strength, you know, work on the area of music where I feel I can give my best. So, yeah, I don't like feeling like, you know, it looks like I'm letting anyone down. I hope it doesn't.
Interesting with that, then, you know, the record, of course, starts in this great single Queen, but there's that opening line, here I go again, down that road again.
Yeah.
Which is a really good way to start a record and a song, by the way. But is that sort of lead into what you're talking about here? Is that getting back into the machine again?
Yeah, it is a little bit. You know, I mean, when I started out making the record and recording that song, I didn't necessarily know that would be the opening track. But once we'd finished and I looked at them all and, you know, listened to them all in different orders, and I just thought, look, that's the perfect way to start the record. You know, it's like I've been away for a little while, but here I go again. There's almost an element, I think, of me sounding slightly surprised as well. You know, how did I get here again? And I was slightly surprised. If you'd asked me 2 years ago, I didn't know I was on my way to making another album. I only had a couple of songs at that stage, and I was feeling, you know, maybe I won't make another album for quite a long time. And then I got very inspired very quickly, and the rest of the songs came together very fast. I'm excited to be doing it, but just as surprised as anyone.
It's interesting, I guess, to hear that too, because I know, you know, creative people, you sort of have the need to be creative and to, you know that you're not going to be touring, and that there's this possibility that maybe, you know, there's not a record on the way. I don't know. Are you comfortable enough in your life where that's not a scary sensation, or was that ever sort of like, oh no?
It's something you have to learn to live with. I mean, I think, you know, both Ben and I, having, you know, been doing music for a long time, we've got used to those gaps in between the projects and those lulls when, you know, you don't feel like you're working hard, and those times when the ideas don't come. And it can be scary, but when you've, you know, when you sort of been through it a few times, you just have to trust that even if you haven't got an idea at the moment, that, you know, another one will be along at some point. It might not be immediately, but, you know, hopefully something will come. So, yeah, you have to try and persuade yourself to be relaxed about it.
So you say the moment of inspiration finally did hit. What was the culprit, if there was one?
It's hard to ever, you know, pin it down. But strangely, it was to do with, you know, getting, this sounds weird, but to do with getting depressed about world events and mm-hmm. politics. And, you know, this feeling of everything, I don't know, speeding up and becoming very extreme, and the news starting to feel quite overwhelming. And like a lot of people, I was getting sucked into that, you know, feeling like I was constantly looking at my phone, seeing a news alert, you know, a news flash going off, breaking news, going back to social media, and everyone screaming about something. And I just thought, this is starting to drive me mad. And I think, you know, maybe those feelings of helplessness and powerlessness would be best addressed by actually just making something, you know, turning back to that thing I can do, which is I can make music. And I think I'll just feel like I'm offering something positive into the world, and, you know, it'll be a kind of cheering thing to do.
And you know, I read about how you talk about this record, and kind of like all that you write, you know, writing about specifically either female characters or a female character, whether that's you or in character. But I thought, you know, especially with the movements finally getting the attention they deserve. So there's the big negative side that, you know, you're alluding to, that I spent most of my year talking about as well, you know, especially over here with Trump and everything. Yeah. But it does seem like there are those positive things that are finally coming out, whether it's Me Too or any of those. And I sort of wonder, like, does that sort of direct the way you write in character at all?
Well, I think it's more to do with that, you know, that weird thing that you just sometimes find yourself in sync with the times, just as at other moments you find yourself out of sync with the times. You know, I've written similar kinds of songs for a very long time now. And there have been periods in the past when I've been writing songs, you know, as you just said, talking about stories about women's lives, sometimes very domestic, sometimes very personal, but usually with a kind of edge of feminism in there. And there have been times in the past where that's made me feel a bit out of sync, and like, you know, people didn't want to hear this, that it wasn't the coolest thing to be talking about. But, you know, here we go. We're in another moment where the conversation's become public again. And, you know, the good thing at the moment is I feel like, you know, a lot of women are saying things they've been saying for a very long time. But, you know, people are choosing to listen. And, you know, there's an atmosphere in which women are being taken seriously, and their concerns and their stories are being taken seriously. So, you know, in the midst of that, here I am with this record, which, you know, most of which obviously I wrote 2 years ago, and yet which does, yeah, suddenly feel quite in sync with the conversations that are going on everywhere. So that's, it's kind of an accident of timing, but it's also just, you know, I've been talking about this stuff quite a long time. Right. So.
But that's got to feel nice, you know. And again, I was having a conversation with an artist the other day who sort of said the similar thing. Like, he had written lots of political songs in the past, or songs that, you know, touched on politics. Yeah. But people really didn't focus on the words back then. It was more just like, oh, that's a catchy song. But now they're finally focusing on those words. Like, that's at least still got to be, like,
awesome, great, finally.
Yeah, oh, I've definitely written songs in the past which I thought were being quite overt about something, and literally no one noticed. I mean, I did wonder sometimes whether, you know, maybe I've just been too subtle. I've been, you know, I try not to write. I don't write massively polemical songs. I don't want to hit people over the head with a sledgehammer. I'm also trying to make entertaining pop music. But sometimes in the past, perhaps I have written songs that were very subtle. And this time around, you know, there are at least two or three lyrics on the album which are much more direct, and where obviously no one could miss the point. And I think I'm quite pleased that I've done that. I would hate at this moment to have a record to be coming out there where I, you know, felt like I hadn't completely said what I thought, or that it could be misinterpreted or not be clear. So if nothing else, at least I feel this time around, you know, I've on a few songs I've been pretty direct.
You know, I will turn the flip the coin here, because you talk about you still do want to make a great pop record.
Yeah.
Electronics play a big part this time around, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've worked with Ewan Pearson, the producer, on, you know, three or four different things now. And we've done a little bit of electronic stuff together, but we've also done quite a lot of more acoustic recording, you know, recording me playing guitar and piano and real drums. But, you know, he's more known as an electronic producer and as a DJ and a remixer. And I felt like I perhaps hadn't completely made the most of that before when we'd worked together. So this time I said to him, look, you know, put your electronic hat on. Let's really go for that. You know, we both share a love of the Pet Shop Boys and New Order and Grace Jones records. You know, we just sort of said, let's let that show. Let's make it obvious. It was good fun. And also because, as I said, I was in this mood of wanting to make a record partly to cheer myself up. So, you know, I wanted to make an upbeat record. I wanted to make a record that, you know, when you put it on, it lifted your mood. And for me, a good way of doing that is to, you know, have some beats, head to the dance floor, right. You know, let's find some joy in the process.
And there were other collaborators. You've pulled on a few of my favorite artists with Half of Warpaint and Corinne Bailey Rae.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did they come into the picture?
Well, Warpaint, that was sheer luck. You know, we started talking about how it would be nice to have a real rhythm section on at least a couple of the songs. And I think I said to Ewan casually, oh, well, you know, my dream rhythm section would be Stella and Jenny from Warpaint. And he said, oh, yeah, I know Stella. I've got her phone number. So I think he'd worked with her before on something and just got in touch with her. And then again, luckily, they happened to be over in the UK, I think playing Glastonbury. So, you know, they had a couple of days free and we got them down into the studio. And, you know, that was just incredible. We thought they might play on two songs. I think Stella ended up playing on about six or seven songs. Cool. Yeah. So yeah, she's amazing.
And with Corinne, I mean, what a great vocalist of our time right there, songwriters as well.
Yeah, I think she's an amazing singer and, you know, sometimes doesn't get the attention I think she deserves just as a singer. So, you know, we actually had almost finished the track and I just thought it needs someone else there singing with me. You know, there's still somewhere else this song could go. And I think there's room for someone who can sing the parts I can't sing and, you know, take this into, you know, just lift it up another level. So she was actually pretty busy and didn't have time to come down to us. She lives in Leeds. So I sent her the track and she did some stuff in her home studio, you know, without any real direction or guidance from me. I just said to her, do what you feel. And, you know, she came up with the vocal arrangement of all the backing vocals. And I thought the track was sounding pretty good already, but you know, once she sent it back, it sounded amazing.
And it's a bit of the centerpiece for the record, maybe, you know, yeah. Even just not just because of its epicness, but also it's an 8-minute song.
Yeah, it is. And not necessarily intended to be, but, you know, we had Stella and Jenny in the studio and John Omar playing guitar, and the three of them were all playing live together. We were just recording the track and the vocal finished. And, you know, after about 4 minutes, and they had this groove going that was so incredible that Ewan and I just looked at each other and said, just let them keep playing. Just keep playing. So through the glass, we were sort of waving at them, just going, keep going, keep going. And I think we took 11 minutes in total before they sort of started looking at us going, can we stop yet? But they, you know, literally live, they built in all the kind of breakdowns and then building it back up again. And then Jenny doing something amazing on the bass and Jono going mad on the guitar. You know, it was virtually all done live. Yeah. You know, we edited it a little bit just to get it down down to 8.5 minutes, but you know, it was incredible. It was just, you know, the song just took off.
No, it soars. It really does.
Yeah.
And of course, another one of the songs I'll ask about, it's hard not to, is Guitar. I do love it when musicians sort of make reference and pay tribute to other musicians. And of course, you've got the Leonard Cohen references in there. That's obviously done on purpose, or just it's sort of seeped in there.
Yeah. I like referencing other songs because, you know, like most people, they're things that provide sort of landmarks to moments in your life. When you're remembering back to a specific event, you often remember what was playing. And I'm literally describing a night of my life there when, you know, a boy taught me three chords on the guitar and we sat and listened to some Leonard Cohen records. I thought he was, you know, the star of the show and the best thing I'd ever met. You know, he was a guitarist in a band. But I think what the song is saying is, what I didn't realize at the time was that the real star of the show was my guitar. You know, I just bought this guitar, and as it turns out, that would be the thing that would change my life. You know, that was the moment that I began to make music myself. You know, from that point on, I started writing songs, I started singing. So it's really a love song to that guitar. The boy just turned out to be incidental. So, you know, I just thought that would be a nice twist. It starts out and you think it's a kind of sad love song about someone's teenager, but actually, you know, the guitar is the star there.
Yeah, most of them do just become incidental, you know.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'll go back to Queen, and there was the other line there that I just love that you put in there is the question, do I ever find love?
Yeah.
And I thought, what a great way to kind of phrase that, because, one, it's a great enticement, you know, for stay tuned.
Yeah, I mean, that's me imagining, you know, how my life could have gone any number of different ways, which I'm sure lots of us have those thoughts sometimes. You think, you know, the sliding doors image, you know, if you'd taken a different path, if you hadn't met that person, would you have done these things? For me, obviously, a lot of that's bound up with the fact that when I met Ben, you know, that affected so much of my life, you know, kickstarted a career, you know, my entire adult relationship. But you sort of think, well, but supposing we hadn't met, you know, what would I have done? Would I have formed a band with someone else? Would I have done music at all? You know, so this version of me that exists now, you know, it sometimes feels like that's just one possible version. There could have been other possible alternative versions. And that, I think I'm just looking back with curiosity, really, just wondering.
You know, you mentioned Ben. I was thinking, because a lot of folks, when they get asked about a previous group or something, you know, it usually has to deal with a lot of people that they don't see in their lives, you know, on a daily basis anymore. And I thought, what a unique situation that you have, where you probably do get asked about Everything But the Girl, and it's with a person that you see quite regularly, yeah. I imagine. So.
Yeah, it does make me laugh sometimes when people say, you know, do you think you'll ever get back together with Ben? And I'm like, well, we just had breakfast.
It's like, what a unique situation. That I can't name anyone else that sort of has that exact same thing, but yeah.
And it does have an impact on the question, really. You know, the question as to whether we would get back together as Everything But the Girl is not unrelated to the fact that we, you know, live together as a couple. You know, living together and working together, which we did for a long time, is not the easiest thing in the world. Right. And, you know, we managed to make it work, and I think we were very lucky. But we're that much older now. We've got three kids together. You know, life becomes complicated enough. And, you know, we do have this conversation sometimes in which we admit that actually the space we're in now, where we have, you know, independent working lives from each other, I think is probably quite healthy.
I would imagine it is.
So the thought of going back to that, you know, where we literally do everything together, it's quite scary.
Right. Well, you know, I compliments where they're due. I love the music that the two of you made together for those decades. I really love the music that you've been making, especially in the last decade. There are so many good songs that come out of that.
That's cool.
Yeah. Tracy, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Cool. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Take care. And I'll be awaiting the next record, whenever that might come. Another book too, right?
Yes. Yeah. There is another book coming along next year. So yeah, I'm finishing that at the moment as well.
Awesome. Well, I'll be in line.
Great. Thanks very much.
All right. Take care.
Cool. Thank you.
And my thanks to Tracy Thorne and Sarah McLachlan. And of course, my thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button if you're not already. Before you get out of here, you'll get new interviews like this one every single week at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating, leave a review if you're having a good time. After all that, you can head over to WFPK.org.
That's where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from David Bowie, REM, Everything Is Recorded, Fury in the Slaughterhouse, U2, Bruce Springsteen, Fleetwood Mac, Meat Puppets, Neil Young, Jack White, Beck, Monsoon, The Goo Goo Dolls, Billy Idol, Sturgill Simpson, Cat Power, Deep Sea Diver, Garbage, and my interview with Denise Richards. That's what you can hear weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.